Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Friday, September 29th, 2017, we have an entertaining hour of sports talk that will close out your week right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. On today's current sports, we will invite Zach Berridge of WILX TV 10. He's a sports reporter and anchor over there right down the road. As Zach will help us preview week 6 of local high school football action that will take place tonight. Hard to believe it's already week 6. We will also chat with Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker, now broadcaster. He'll talk some U of M football. U of M football, of course, has a bye week before they will welcome the Michigan State football team to the Big House come next weekend on October 7th. And speaking of MSU football, we will lead the show by previewing the big Iowa at Michigan State football game tomorrow at 4 p.m. at Spartan Stadium. The Spartans coming off a loss under the lights to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. We'll have convos in and around that game. Also, the Detroit Lions are in action as well this weekend as they will hit the road to Minnesota to take on the Vikings this Sunday. A jam-packed hour, as you see. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to be a part of the show. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Weigh in there and even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Let's get right to it. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, ladies and gents, boys and girls, I tell you what, you better get out and enjoy some high school football tonight because it's already week 6. Already week 6 and the weather is great. All right, pretty soon, I know it's coming. I know it's coming, Michigan. You're duping us right now, but I know that the weather's going to start to get colder and we'll probably even see the white stuff come down from the clouds. But right now, we are enjoying this great weather and Week 6 of high school football will get underway tonight. Many intriguing league matchups that do include matchups such as PW hosting rival Langsburg. That's going to be a big game. Also, how about in the GLAC, you have Lakewood taking on Olivet. Holt will play East Lansing in the CAAC Blue. You also have Okemos at Sexton, St. John's at DeWitt, Ionia at Portland. We'll elaborate more on a few other local games, again, with our high school football expert, Mr. Zach Berridge of WILX TV 10. He'll join us around the 1:30 mark to take a broader look at tonight's high school, local high school football action, so you don't want to miss that. All right, Michigan State football opens the 2017 Big Ten schedule against Iowa tomorrow at 4 p.m. inside of Spartan Stadium. The game will be televised nationally on Fox. The Spartans, sitting at 2-1, fell to Notre Dame at home last Saturday night, 38-18, the final of that matchup, while the Iowa Hawkeyes, sitting at 3-1 on the year, 0-1 in Big Ten play, lost their Big Ten opener against number 4 Penn State, 21-19, on the last play of the game. Very competitive game from the Iowa Hawkeyes against number 4 Penn State. Now, this marks the first meeting between both the Spartans and the Hawkeyes since the 2015 Big Ten Championship game in Indianapolis, when number 5 Michigan State edged the previously undefeated and 4th-ranked Hawkeyes 16-13 to win the Big Ten title and earn a berth in the college football playoff. You guys remember that famed moment, right? L.J. Scott capping off a remarkable 22-play, 82-yard drive in the fourth quarter that took 9 minutes and 4 seconds off the clock with a 1-yard touchdown run with just 27 seconds remaining in the game. Gus Johnson lost his mind in the booth. Ah, what a moment, right? And I tell you what, L.J. Scott, I'll elaborate on his woes. Quite the contrary to what to that moment compared to what we've seen on the football field so far from Scott this season. So don't miss that. We'll have a preview of the Hawkeyes and Spartans in just a moment. Earlier this week, NBC Sports tabbed Miles Bridges of the MSU men's basketball team as its preseason National Player of the Year. That's what happens when you are one of the best freshman players in the nation and then surprisingly return for a second year, your sophomore campaign. Now, a year ago, Bridges averaged almost 17 points per game, 16.9 to be exact, and 8.3 rebounds per game in leading Michigan State to a second round of the bid of the NCAA tournament. Now, looking at the story for NBC, in the story, MSU head men's basketball coach Tom Izzo is quoted with a familiar refrain, quote, "My term, he's a bleeping weirdo." I love that quote. That's what he said in referencing Bridges' decision, his decision to stay in East Lansing for another year. Quote, "I know this, one way or another, he's an unbelievable kid." Yes, he certainly is. Looking forward to the MSU men's basketball year. All right, the Michigan State women's soccer team returns to DeMartin Stadium for a 2-game homestand to finish out the month of September and begin the month of October. Yes, the next time I talk to you all after 2 p.m. today will be next month, October. Crazy, right? The Spartans will host Nebraska tonight, 6 p.m., and Iowa on Sunday at 12 p.m. Both games will be streamed on BTN+. Now, in their last match, the Spartans fell to Minnesota 7-1. The Golden Gophers offense came out firing, netting 7 goals before the Spartans found an opportunity to respond. Freshman forward Alexandra Thomas notched her first collegiate goal to get MSU on the board. Redshirt sophomore goalkeeper Riley Ott played in the first half, making 2 saves. Redshirt senior Savannah Wojciechowski played the remaining 45 minutes, also making 2 saves. The Michigan State field hockey team returns home to Ralph Young Field tonight to host number 4 ranked Penn State 6 p.m. match in Big Ten play. The Spartans hold a season record of 6-5 with a Big Ten record of 1-1. MSU is on a 3-game win streak after picking up 2 huge road wins last weekend, including a double OT shootout victory over Ohio State on Sunday and a 3-2 dub over Miami of Ohio on Friday night. All of MSU's losses have come from ranked opponents this season, the highest rank being Michigan at number 8. Number 4 ranked Penn State is the highest ranked team the Spartans have faced this season. Spartans wrap up a busy August and September as they return home for a Friday home game tonight after playing 7 of their last 11 games on the road. All right, as the Minnesota Vikings waded through the uncertainty at quarterback, Case Keenum gave the team a big lift in last week's win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Keenum matched Sam Bradford's stellar week 1 performance with a 75.8 completion percentage, 369 passing yards, and 3 TDs without a turnover. Bradford and winning Player of the Week, threw for 346 yards, 3 TDs without a turnover in week one with an 84.4 completion percentage. 3 games in, Detroit has been efficient offensively without big games from quarterback Matt Stafford and has been strong defensively, just 17th in the NFL in offensive yards per game. The Lions are 7th in the league in points per game. One reason the Lions haven't compiled league-leading yardage totals is the work of the defense. Detroit is tied for 2nd in the league with 8 takeaways, including 7 interceptions. Sunday marks the first division game for each team. Again, the Lions on the road take on the Minnesota Vikings. The Lions have had the better of the recent meetings, winning 8 of the past 14 games between the two, including a sweep last season. The 2 wins last year were by a combined 9 points in only 4 of the past 14 games between the Lions and Vikes have been decided by double digits. The Chicago Blackhawks scored twice in the third period to defeat the Detroit Red Wings 4-2 last night, but goalkeeper Peter Mrazek couldn't be faulted for any of the 3 goals he allowed. He saved 36 shots. Detroit lost at the newly built Little Caesars Arena last night for the first time in 3 home preseason games, but there were some uplifting signs for the future and the present. Michael Rasmussen, the Wings' top draft pick this year, continued to maximize his extended opportunity in camp. Libor Sulak, a Czech defenseman who will play in Finland this season, he looked good. The Red Wings, sitting at 2-3-1, close out the preseason with a pair of games against the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight at LCA, 7:30 p.m. You can watch that one on Fox Sports Detroit Plus, and Saturday at Air Canada Center. And the Detroit Tigers, Daniel Norris and the Detroit Tigers, ended losing skids. Norris threw 5 scoreless innings to pick up his first victory in more than 3 months as the Tigers snapped a season-high 9-game losing streak by beating the Kansas City Royals 4-1 last night. Norris, who is 5-8 on the year, gave up 2 hits in 5 innings. He was 0-4 in 4 starts and 4 relief appearances since a June 16th triumph over Tampa Bay. He was removed after 54 pitches with a tender groin. The Tigers have been outscored 68-39 in that losing streak, which was the longest since dropping 9 straight September 1st to the 9th back in 2005. Ugh. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get right to it.
Played them 2015, you know, that was a tough, solid team, you know, a team that I feel like guys should enjoy playing, you know, because they're going to give you their best ball inside the ball, so it's going to make you have to play to your highest ability. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
I think they're physical up front. Obviously, their O-line won the best O-line in the country last year, 4 or 5 returning starters. Akram Wadley can run the ball. Their quarterback can pass it. Very good pure passer. So, you know, they had to run their offense, so we got to be ready for them.
All right, MSU football fans. Yes, tomorrow the Spartans will try to rebound from a pretty ugly loss against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish under the lights at Spartan Stadium this past Saturday. Those were the voices of, first, Gerald Holmes, MSU senior running back, and second, Byron Bulla, junior linebacker for MSU football. You know, I was out of town. I was out of the country for a wedding when the Michigan State football game against the Fighting Irish was taking place, and the wedding was actually, I was out there for 4 days, but the wedding was actually on Saturday. But you better believe, during the reception, because there were many Spartans at the reception, of course, right? We were all glued to our telephones just watching the game as it progressed throughout the night. And, you know, you look at the stats, because we didn't get a chance to see video of it. I didn't, at least, until the following day. But if you look at it, Michigan State pretty much controlled the game. I mean, they almost had 500 yards offensively. However, turnovers. 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 You look at the Iowa Hawkeyes. Pretty impressive, if you ask me, because they almost topped Penn State. Number 4, Penn State. Neither team is ranked heading into Saturday's meeting at Spartan Stadium. Again, 4 p.m. kickoff time. It's the Big Ten opener for Michigan State. The Hawkeyes sitting at 0-1 in conference after that loss to Penn State, 21-19. The Spartans, that 38-18 home loss to Notre Dame. It came down to turnovers for me. Now, that loss to Notre Dame, I don't think it's going to define the season. However, you know, I keep having flashbacks to last year, because Michigan State is a team that last year won the first two games of the year, and then it was all downhill from there en route to a 3-9 season. Similar start, right? 2-0, and then it's like, whoa, what is going on here? And you play an Iowa Hawkeyes team that pushed the really good Penn State Nittany Lions to the brink. Came down to the final play. There are many Spartan fans out there that are saying, okay, if we lost to Notre Dame the way we did last week, how in the world are we going to compete against the Iowa Hawkeyes? But what you can hold on to is the fact that if you don't turn the football over 3 times in that game against the Fighting Irish, there's a pretty good chance that you win that game, Spartans. It really is. So I believe that tomorrow's game will go a long way in deciding the direction for both of these squads. If Michigan State can beat Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa Hawkeyes, this is a squad that will will clearly trend upward as the year goes along. You know, Michigan State, and this is going to be brought up constant times throughout the Big Ten year, but it is one of the youngest teams in the country. 76 underclassmen on the roster. It's a lot of underclassmen. 14 sophomores, 22 freshmen, true and redshirt on the depth chart. 12 true freshmen have played this year and had their redshirts burned. You're going to see youth rear its ugly head multiple times throughout the year, especially now that we are in Big Ten play. But if I'm a Spartan fan out there, I'm encouraged right now. I have to be honest with you. I'm encouraged for a number of reasons. Because I do believe, again, you look at turnovers for Michigan State. You know, from MSU, this was the, you know, this was the number one team in Big Ten turnover differential, Michigan State, back in 2013, 2014, and 2015. For 3 straight years, not that long ago, Michigan State was the number one team in the conference in turnover differential. Michigan State is now -6 overall, 8 turnovers total. Folks, that is the worst turnover margin in the Big Ten and second worst in all
of college football. Second worst in all of college football. They have two picks, no fumble recoveries, and of course, takeaways. The Spartans, two takeaways this season, are the fewest in the conference as well. So if Michigan State takes care of the football, and if they force a few turnovers here and there, Spartan fans could be looking at a 3-0 year so far instead of 2-1. I really believe that. And LJ Scott does have a problem. This is a problem. Let's be real here. Okay? LJ Scott has a problem when it comes to holding on the football. So much so that earlier this week, LJ talked to the media and said that the program is making him, anytime he enters the football building, he has to carry around a football everywhere he goes, and those in his walking path have to try and strip the football away from him. Now, I don't know if there's a punishment if someone does succeed in stripping the football from his grasp, but that's how bad it is now. You know, LJ said it jokingly, but he also went on to say, you know, it's embarrassing. I put myself in this position. I have to do a better job at taking care of the football, especially, you know, last weekend. He's at the goal line. He's about to cross the pylons. It's a guaranteed 6 points, and he gets stripped. It can't happen. It's inexcusable. And I'm curious whether or not Mark D'Antonio will limit LJ's minutes come tomorrow afternoon. LJ Scott has to take care of the football. Now, when it comes to Brian Lewerke, I must say that I've been impressed with Brian Lewerke. I think that I have to remind Spartan fans out there, when we're talking with certain Spartan fans out there, that Brian Lewerke is still a sophomore. He's going to go through his own growing pains. I mean, you know, when he tried to force it behind Daryl Stewart on Saturday, that led to a pick. Those are the growing pains you're going to deal with a first-year starting quarterback who is a sophomore. And then the fumble that he had where he just didn't take care of the football at all. Very recklessly holding the football, that led to a fumble. Those are the growing pains you're going to have to deal with. I don't think that anyone should be disappointed in what we've seen from Brian Lewerke throughout the first three games of the season. He's exceeded my expectations. On the ground, he's looked great. And in certain moments of the game, he's shown that he's got an arm on him. He's got a strong arm on him. So, you know, Lewerke's arm is going to be an essential part of an MSU win if MSU is going to compete for a win against Iowa tomorrow. I'm not going to criticize Brian Lewerke for that loss on Saturday as much as some others have. But how will this team respond? Again, last year they start 2-0 en route to 3-9. You look at Iowa. You know, interesting matchup here. This was highlighted by Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal. Iowa sophomore defensive end Anthony Nelson is a man already. He's 6 feet seven, 260 pounds. He's a defensive end, great size, and he already has 3 sacks this season. He gave Penn State fits left and right. He's going to be matched up against left tackle Cole Chewins. Watch that matchup, because what we've seen from Brian Lewerke so far this year, if you go back to the Notre Dame game, just go back 6 days from now, when Brian Lewerke is uncomfortable in the pocket, we've seen glimpses where he can find a man on the move and move the chains or throw up for six. We've seen that from Brian Lewerke. However, We've also seen, and again, when he's also pressured, he can not only throw on the move, but he also can put it on the ground and run the football as well. However, we've seen at times where when he's really uncomfortable, and if that line is consistently causing him trouble, I think that could be a problem. And Anthony Nelson is going to give Michigan State fits if Cole Chewins doesn't man up. Watch for that. I think that's a really interesting matchup there. The run game for Michigan State. Not to, again, harp on LJ Scott some more, but, you know, Michigan State's rush attack has been it's been puzzling. It hasn't been consistent, and out of the three running backs, the three-headed monster from Michigan State, Amadre London, Gerald Holmes, and LJ Scott, there has been no one that's really stood out where you point to and say, okay, that is the guy. That run game has to get better because that also alleviates some pressure off your young quarterback. Now, when it comes to stopping the run game, well, right now the Iowa Hawkeyes are averaging 3.8 yards per carry. That is third worst among Big Ten teams. Have to be encouraged there. Notre Dame, though, picked up 182 yards on the ground on Saturday. Western Michigan cracked the 100 yards on the ground mark as well, with 116 the week before. Got to see better play from that Michigan State defensive line. And going back to Lewerke, you know, Iowa will see more of a dual threat in sophomore quarterback Ryan Lewerke. He leads the team right now in rushing with 206 yards. And Ryan Lewerke also leads the Big Ten in total offense per game with 319. I think, Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, I think, Isaac, that this will be a game that comes down to the fourth quarter. I really believe that. I think this is going to be an old-school football, knockdown, drag-them-out, physical game, as it usually is when evaluating an Iowa Hawkeyes and Michigan State Spartans gridiron matchup. And I, to give my prediction before we hit this first break, I think Michigan State will pull this out. I think they'll pull it out by the skin of their teeth, though. But, again, they have to shore up some things because Iowa, don't be fooled by that three and some change yards per carry on the ground, because I do believe that going against Michigan State has not shown a consistency, I should say, when it comes to stopping the run. So what just thoughts on this matchup, because you look at how that Iowa game went, and, again, clearly if Michigan State cuts out the turnovers, I think they win that game, Isaac. An Iowa team that pushed Penn State. What are your thoughts on this matchup coming tomorrow afternoon?
Well, the turnover battle will be crucial. There's no two ways about that. And on Monday, I did say that I would advocate going with Gerald Holmes for the first possession of the game for MSU, not benching LJ Scott permanently, not relegating him to watch his teammates, but giving Holmes that go-ahead, saying that this is a problem that needs to be addressed, making a statement to the rest of the team. Of course, that interception set MSU off on the wrong foot against Notre Dame. At the same time, as I said, sophomores are supposed to make mistakes. As a junior or senior, yeah, you're supposed to cut all that out of your game and move forward and manage to play a pretty turnover-free game. Iowa has a sophomore quarterback as well, who I don't think has been tested by the best defenses so far. In fact, I have a few questions about Penn State's defense at that. But Nate Stanley got 12 touchdowns in games and one interception. That's a really good ratio.
Impressive,
and
right?
Yeah. Three touchdowns a game for a sophomore, that's good. Like you said, despite the paltry rushing numbers for Iowa when it comes to yards per carry at times, I mean, Akram Wadley is a very skilled rusher. And I think against Penn State, he had something along the lines of a 35-yard touchdown run that he bursted free for. I thought that a game which was worth remembering and kept Iowa in the position where they could lose on the final play of the game. I like Iowa. I don't think that they're one of the best teams in the Big Ten, but I think that they've done all they're supposed to and more. Now, maybe that game against Penn State was a little bit too close, given how much Penn State dominated when it came to yardage. And throughout that game, they had 570 yards, Penn State did. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Iowa, they bent and they didn't break. That's the mark of a good defense. To lose on the final play and only then to actually relinquish control of the game to Penn State, no, that's a mark of a good defense. So for Iowa, it'll come down to, again, can they first force turnovers? MSU's got 8 on the season. That's the number you keep hearing, 8 on the season, -6 ratio. Can they force turnovers from MSU? If so, Iowa wins this game. But just to give you an indication of how close this will be, Antonio and Ferentz have met 8 times in their era. 4 of those games have been decided by 3 or less. That is definitely an indicator. When it comes to also D'Antonio's record, 4-4 against the Hawkeyes, Ferentz, 8-8 against the Spartans. These guys are close. They are neck and neck. This one, though, it's a tiebreaker. I give it to Iowa. I think Iowa is just going to manage to control this game. I think MSU might get off to a little bit of a rocky start coming off the hangover.
Okay.
And Iowa, they've got the offensive firepower to make this work. So I'm taking the Hawkeyes probably 30-23.
Okay. I just think that it comes down to playmakers. I just think that Michigan State has more young playmakers on their team that can really that are really going to be the difference maker come that fourth quarter. Right now, Michigan State is listed as a 3.5-point favorite at the Wynn Casino in Las Vegas. And VegasInsider.com has set the total at 45. Right now, Michigan State is 5-1 against the spread in its last 6 home games. And, you know, you look at keys to victory. I think that, again, Michigan State, just don't turn over the football. Easier said than done. That's the key for Michigan State if they want to beat the Iowa Hawkeyes tomorrow. The Hawkeyes, though, got to get that run game going. The defense played 99 plays on a hot night last week against Penn State in Iowa. You know, must give them a break by controlling the clock, I think, if they want to win this game. And also, I think these are just some cool tidbits heading into this game as well. Michigan State's 2017 roster features 2 players from Iowa. Freshman kicker Cole Hahn, who went to West Des Moines Valley High School. Well, I should say he went to 2 high schools out there, West Des Moines and Valley High School. And freshman quarterback Rocky Lombardi. Clive and Valley High School for Rocky. So Michigan State right now ranks 2nd in the Big Ten and 7th in FBS and 3rd downs, converting on 26 of 49 on 3rd down opportunities. MSU was 11 of 19 on 3rd down against Notre Dame, which is pretty impressive. And in 3 games this season, the Spartans have forced their opponents to go 3 and out on 9 of 34 possessions. That's not great. That's a 26%. Conversion rate there. That's crazy. When I saw that, said I had to do a double take this morning. Again, the Spartans have forced their opponents to go 3 and out just 9 times out of 34 tries. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will welcome Zach Berridge to the show. Zach Berridge of WILX TV 10. He will help us preview week 6 of local high school football action. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Let's get to our guest for today's show. His name is Zach Berridge, WILX TV 10 sports anchor and reporter. Of course, we invite Zach each and every Friday to help us preview the week that will be in high school football. It's week six already. A lot of intriguing matchups. First off, Zach, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me back. It's been a couple weeks, hasn't it?
It has. Kind of been, we were both out of town last week.
Office, yeah, so a lot has happened. In the meantime, two-thirds of the way done after tonight. It's a little bit wild, but that's how the high school football season goes, right?
I really can't believe it, Zach. Yeah. I mean, week six already.
This is going to be a good week, though.
It should be. And, you know, I want to go through a few matchups here because there are many intriguing league showdowns. I mean, you got Holt at East Lansing, Okemos at Sexton, Ionia at Portland, St. John's at DeWitt. When it comes to the league matchups tonight, which of those matchups intrigue you the most?
Well, I'll go one further. I don't think you mentioned was Lakewood versus Olivet, a couple 5-0 teams playing out in Lakewood. Both teams I've seen in person once. We featured them a handful of times, probably two or three, four times each of those teams on our show.
Right.
That's going to be a good game. And I think Lakewood having home field, you know, it's kind of like the Michigan State-Iowa game. You give them 3 points for home field, and I would imagine it's somewhere around there. But Lakewood looks really good, and Olivet looks really good, too, has a really good run game. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at that. But then also, not to go out of the parameters again, but if you look at eight-man football, Morris 5-0 hosting 5-0 Deckerville tonight, too.
Okay.
So a couple of 5-0s facing off each other there too. But I'm particularly interested in St. John's DeWitt. If anyone in the red is going to give the Panthers a run, I think it's going to be the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. I think that's at St.
DeWitt.
Is it at DeWitt?
Yeah, okay. That'd be at DeWitt.
Well, that'll help them. But they've looked really, really good. I mean, what are they, top ranked? I think they're ranked highly in whatever class they're in.
They are. Yeah, I'm not sure what the ranking is, but I know St. John's 3-2, 2-1 in conference. And you look at DeWitt 4-1, 3-0 in conference. So those two teams, I mean, going at it. And you look at
always a good game.
It's always a good game, yep, between those two schools. And also, you know, you mentioned Lakewood, right? And, you know, what I find really intriguing is that both Pawamo Westphalia and Lakewood, I mean, they have big matchups tonight. And both of those teams, if they win tonight, could possibly coast to a third straight league championship. Pretty impressive, right?
Right. And you don't want to, you know, say that the teams that they have remaining on their schedule can't give them a run necessarily. But if you look at the records and that sort of thing, it looks pretty open. And, you know, we'll be up there as well. That's another great matchup is PW and Langsburg. And, you know me, I've kind of been on the Langsburg train this year, but I don't know. It's PW is going to do what they're going to do. And,
right.
When we talk with Jeremy Miller after the game, likely, he's not going to say, hey, we've won the league or anything like that. They've still got to go through, I think, Potterville or I think they got the Fulton game maybe
or
Fowler, that is. So nobody's going to outright and say, hey, we've won the league tonight. I don't know if that's even possible necessarily for any team in any league, to win outright. I think there are a couple that can win it with a share.
So right.
I think if either Lakewood or Olivet, if they win tonight, I believe that will clinch a share for whichever team wins. And then, mm-hmm, you know, if they keep winning from there, then they win it outright. But I have to look again if they have league matchups in week eight. That's kind of what it determines on. So
are there any teams that, you know, you're looking at week six here now, Zach? I mean, we're really getting to the nitty gritty of the season now, past the midpoint of the year. And there are teams out there that here locally are on the fringe of possibly making the postseason. For those teams out there, do any teams come to mind that really need a win tonight to stay in contention?
Yeah, we'll look at Perry. Maple Valley is kind of one of those big matchups in the GLAC. Maple Valley's got that at home. We know the story with Perry trying to make the postseason for the first time ever, but I think they're both sitting on 3 wins, and Maple Valley hasn't been there in a few years either. They've kind of had a rough couple seasons, so we're rooting for both of them just to get back. You pick up a win in week six and you get win number four, you're one away from five, which will give you a look in some cases, but just two wins away from clinching a playoff berth.
Right.
Both those teams can definitely do it. I think a win tonight obviously helps that cause.
Right.
I'm looking specifically at those two. It's a big night for Sexton. You know, I think everyone was really on the Sexton train once they started. Were they 3-0 to start, I think?
And they were undefeated.
And then, yeah, they got beat by a Grand Ledge team, which you can accept. And then Jackson came out of nowhere last year, and that last week. That surprised a lot of people, I think, myself included. It doesn't get easier for Sexton. They've got Okemos. I don't want to call it a must win, but if they're going to get back to the playoffs like they were a season ago. You know, this is a big matchup for them. The same kind of goes for Okemos. We'll see how they bounce back from their loss, their lone loss to Grand Ledge. But the Chiefs definitely proved that they belong last week. A lot of people were thinking that their first four opponents, where they outscored them 6 trillion to 2 or whatever.
Looked like a walk in the park at first, right?
Yeah, they're like, well, they haven't really played anyone of any real merit, but they hung right with Grand Ledge and they showed they belong. So I'm excited to see how they bounce back. Tonight as well.
Yeah, we'll see if they can rebound from that road set back to Grand Ledge. And again, Sexton, as you mentioned, Zach, Sexton has dropped 2 straight, including being edged by previously winless Jackson on the road last week. And also, really turned my head. You know, when I was out of town, they did to Portland. I mean, Portland looks for real this year. I mean, Ionia. They will welcome Ionia to their house tonight. Portland taking a big step, though, for a third straight league title as well with that win over Jim Mahern's team, which is always good every single year.
Right. They've lost the game, I think, back in week 2, right? You know, I can't remember
exactly. The Portland Raiders, right. They're 4-1 overall.
Right. I can't remember the ones they lost to, but it looked – we weren't sure.
Yep.
Couldn't pull away from Ovid Ellison week 1. They lost a game.
Okay.
They played close with Williamston, and Williamston has proved
a
decent team as well.
I know that can happen. I think
everyone was expecting a close game with Lansing Catholic, right, especially how well they've played, so because they were undefeated going into that game, I believe.
Right. Pot 4.
Yeah, I mean, that's Portland. See, that's the one thing, and I not to pat myself on the back, but all the Portland teams since I've been back in Lansing covering these teams, the Portland teams,
we're recording an interview right now.
Consistently,
it's recording fine,
get better
just do that
week
afterwards.
After week after week. And when I went there to talk with them preseason, they didn't have any of their returning skill positions, so they were replacing all their backs and their receivers and whatnot.
So the cupboard looked bare,
right? Right. But they were doing the same thing with their offensive line
before
a year ago.
I think
that's when coaching really comes into play, and John Tavares kind of
played with it to see what was going on.
And they just they dominated the regular season, and they really had Lansing Catholic's number, I think 5 of the last 6 times or something like that, including postseason. Don't quote me quite on that number, but
they've
really been the dominant CYC white team over the past.
I know the split record does that.
When looking at players in the area, Zach, which players have really stood out as a possible mid-Michigan candidate for player of the year so far?
Yeah, I think Connor Neer's up there. He's bar none one of the best runners in the area for St. John's. For those who don't know who he is, he just runs through everything, and he's a good tackle breaker. He can run outside and inside too, which is key for a high school running back to be successful. He can't just go around things, as you got to go kind of through things and follow the blocks too. That sticks out to me. I'm blanking. There's a kid who from Lakewood. I'm blanking on his name. He's having a pretty good season too. But and then you look at for Portland. Mr. 5 touchdown a week ago.
Exactly, right? They're running back, whose name eludes me now as well.
You know how it is. Brock Gross, we'll call his name, I'm sure, tonight as Portland host Ionia.
Right.
There's a number you could look at, but with still 4 games left, it's all about kind of that consistency and obviously staying healthy too. But the name that kind of comes to mind is Connor Neer. And, boy, what he had when he went up and played in, was it Cadillac? And he had near 300 yards or over 300 yards and 4 or 5 touchdowns too. That's kind of what opened everyone's eyes right in the beginning of the season, because
Put him on the radar.
Yeah, St. John's numbers aren't, I think maybe they've got 30 players, maybe not quite, but this goes back to coaching. We all know what kind of coach Dave Maragy is, putting out good, and they do that kind of always have a good ground game, it seems. So it's not surprising that there's a really good player coming out of there in the run game.
Definitely. Zach Berridge, WILX-TV10 sports reporter and anchor. Again, you can catch the Sports Blitz tonight at 11:15 on your television, Channel 10. Zach, before we get you out of here, my man, just kind of go through what games you all will be covering tonight and just kind of give us a rundown of your coverage.
Sure. I think we'll try to hit 12 games, I believe.
Okay.
One game that maybe people aren't talking about is Eastern and Everett. Both teams have yet to win a game, so we'll be there to see a team, happy to kind of get off that and put a win in the win column.
Somebody's always got to go in that one, right?
Yeah, and then, obviously Okemos at Sexton, DeWitt hosting St. John's, as we talked about. Lakewood Olivet's our big one, Morris and Deckerville. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be up at PW, Langsburg, Portland, Ionia. We got Waverly Hazlett tonight as well. And then East Lansing Holt. Mm-hmm. And Maple Valley will be down there as well, as they as we talked about with Perry. It's kind of a critical game for either one of those teams. And then there's a couple more. I'm trying to picture the map as we talked
right.
about before.
It's
the
amazing. This is all in your brain yeah. right now, Zach. I mean, he's not looking at any notes here, folks. This is all off the top of the dome, memorized. I guess what did you start planning this last night, Zach?
Usually I'll run through on Monday and just see what games there are, and then I'll kind of visualize, put it on a map on Tuesday, and then gotcha. Have a look around there. So
better memory than me, folks.
I'm trying.
All right, again, you can catch it. What time, Zach? Remind our listeners out there.
It's about, if we're going to be precise, I think it's 11:14 in about 10 seconds or something like that. So if you've got one of those really precise alarm clocks, dial it up for that. And Phil Byrne and myself will be on and doing as many games as we possibly can. It's a big week, week six, so we hope you'll join us tonight on WLX.
Definitely, and I assume you guys will have some coverage as well concerning MSU football mm-hmm. as they will welcome Iowa to Spartan Stadium tomorrow. And Tom Izzo
right.
talking today, actually right now as we speak,
right. yep.
Down at the Breslin Center. I'm sure Tom will have something to say about the FBI men's college basketball investigation.
He always has something to say, which is good for media types like us, right?
He's a walking soundbite.
He is, and people love him for it, so we'll be there for that as well.
All right, Zach, thank you so much for your time, man.
All right, thanks, Al.
We'll see you next week. All right, let's hit our final break of the hour. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Had a bit of technical difficulties during that segment B. That was a pre-recorded interview that we did with Zach right before our airwaves took place at 1 o'clock. So, apologize for that. I saw we got a few comments there and wanted to clarify that up. We have about 10 minutes left in the show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In just a moment, we're going to invite Alan Gant to the show as he joins us each and every week to talk U of M football. Now, U of M football, they have the week off. Next week, U of M will get back at it as they will welcome Michigan State to the Big House for a night game. Hard to believe that game will be a night game, but Alan will join us to kind of recap the Purdue win, which I must say was very impressive for the Wolverines. I actually chose the Wolverines to lose that game because Purdue looked really good coming off a win over Mizzou. Before we invite Alan to the show, though, we do have one of our dear callers on line one. It's our dear friend, Ray from Indiana. Ray, we don't have much time, but what is on your mind?
Go Spartans, beat the Bullies.
So you're already ready for the Michigan State and U of M game next week.
I hear
Ray.
You went to Jamaica, huh?
I did. I was there for a wedding, man. My frat brother got
you
married.
You couldn't put me in your suitcase and let me go with you?
Ray, I'm sure if you would have came on that trip, you would have been the life of the party. It was a good getaway, even though I did have to miss the
Donald
weekend.
Trump?
What's that?
Were you down there with your buddy Donald Trump?
No, buddy. That Donald Trump is not my buddy, okay?
I'm
Come
teasing
on.
You.
Yeah, I know you are,
crazy,
Ray.
That man. I told people down here how crazy that guy is. Don't put him in as president. They did it anyway. Hey, couple of things. You guys better get going here this week against Iowa. And also, I was looking at some of the books that when I went to grocery shopping the other day, and they got Michigan State in both the polls number one in the country. Do they have that much talent coming back?
You're talking about for men's basketball. Yes, they do have that much talent coming back, Ray. The roster from top to bottom is absolutely stacked. And that recruiting class that was heralded as Tom Izzo's best recruiting class last year with Josh Lanford, Cassius Winston, Miles Bridges, that core is back. And Nick Ward, I don't want to leave out Nick Ward either, but that core is back for another year. It's going to be an interesting season for MSU men's basketball. As Tom Izzo is actually talking at the Breslin Center right now. But, Ray, we got to go to get to our guests before we say goodbye, but thanks for the call.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, you do the same. Alan Gant, former U of M
linebacker and now broadcaster, now joins us on the show to briefly talk about U of M's win over the Purdue Boilermakers this past weekend. First off, Alan, how you doing? And welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, Al, how you doing? Thanks for having me back.
Always good chatting with you, my friend. I'll dive right into it. Due to time, you know, it was crazy to me when I saw the final score and how U of M was able to pretty much control that game. They lose their starting quarterback in Wilton Spate in the first quarter. John O'Korn comes in and doesn't miss a beat. And in many people's eyes, they believe that it's a quarterback controversy now because Wilton hasn't started off the year lights out. The defense holds Purdue's rushing attack to just 30 yards. How surprising was that win in your eyes?
You know, it was an overall good game by both sides of the ball. I expected the defense to play to the level that they have been playing all year. When looking at the offensive side, the main thing I mentioned last week when I was on the show was controlling the line of scrimmage. I thought the offensive line did a heck of a job controlling the line of scrimmage. John O'Korn was patient back there in the pocket. You got to give a lot of credit to Coach Harbaugh because he developed and gave them plays to where John was able to, you know, read the defense and make the simple read. So I think they did a really good job with that.
O'Korn was 18 for 26, 270 yards, one TD, and an INT. Wilton Spate, again, I want to throw this question out at you. Is there a quarterback controversy in Ann Arbor, and what makes these two quarterbacks different?
I think no doubt about it. I mean, you look at the way O'Korn came in. He was very composed. It felt like the offense was starting to click. He felt very confident and was patient back there in the pocket. And the way the running game was going, it developed and opened up for the offense to be able to throw the ball downfield. And the one thing that I looked at was a play-action pass. That kept Purdue's defense on their toes. And I thought Coach Harbaugh did a great job of getting O'Korn comfortable in the pocket back there with the play-action pass. And as far as the difference between the two quarterbacks, I mean, both quarterbacks have great experience. O'Korn starting at Houston a couple of years ago. Wilton played last year, started last year, has gotten significant snaps this year. So I think coming into next week's game against Michigan State, Coach Harbaugh will definitely have a decision to make on who he would want to start the game. And hopefully, you know, if Wilton is healthy, there'll be a pretty good competition going on for that week.
Who starts, O'Korn or Spate?
I believe O'Korn starts. I believe that Coach Harbaugh will understand and review the film over and over again to see what went right when O'Korn was back there. And not to put anything against Wilton, but I mean, O'Korn did a great job, like I said, being very composed, had a lot of good confidence in the backfield with the offensive line, great communication with Chris Evans. And actually, speaking of Chris Evans, I remember we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he finally emerged. I mean, the kid had over or close to 100 yards rushing and two touchdowns, so pretty impressive with that.
Yeah, what changed with Evans? That's where I was going next. I mean, Chris Evans, you know, he rushed for 97 yards on only 14 carries. It was very impressive what he was able to do on just 14 carries. What changed when it came to Chris Evans against Purdue?
There was no guessing when it came time to hitting the hole.
He was decisive. Okay.
He was very exciting watching him run in the backfield. I thought that he did an excellent job of hitting the hole, seeing what the defense was giving to him, and sure enough, he delivered.
The tight ends finally appeared in this game as well, Alan. You know, there was a lot of chatter about, you know, Michigan's tight end core and where had they been throughout the first few weeks here. And we finally saw, you know, players like Zach Zintry, who had three grabs for 48 yards. Sean McEwen, he had five receptions for 82 yards. Was that a play calling thing or what allowed them to finally just emerge? I mean, what was different between the first few weeks compared to last week?
Well, if you think about it, looking at the way Coach Harbaugh likes to run his offensive schemes, even dating back to Stanford, and even going back when he coached at San Francisco, he loves getting his tight ends involved. And I think that going back to the year that I played with him, even last year and even so far this year, he's always been one to be able to get his tight ends involved. And this past game, the defense was giving him opportunities to call plays to get his tight ends involved, and he took advantage of that.
All right, the big game next week, and we'll certainly have you on, Alan, to preview it. But, you know, if without seeing Michigan State, of course, play Iowa right now, evaluating Michigan State losing to Notre Dame the way they did on Saturday, if Michigan State and Michigan were to play right now, who would have the edge in that game and why, Alan?
I'm still taking the Wolverines just because we're led by the best defense in the country. You look at Devin Bush. You look at Chase Winovich. The secondary is playing great. It's very hard to go against Michigan when the defense is playing to the level they're playing at right now. But looking back at last week with the Michigan State-Notre Dame game, I mean, you take away points off, you take away the turnovers, Michigan State's definitely in the game. And I remember, you know, L.J. Scott fumbling the ball going into the end zone. That was a big turning point. I mean, just all little mistakes that Michigan State had in the Notre Dame game was very correctable. But I think that at the end of the day, when looking at this Michigan defense and looking at the way Coach Harbaugh has gotten these guys ready to play week in and week out, I'm definitely going to take the Wolverines in that matchup.
And I'll be remiss if I didn't bring this up either. I want to talk about the red zone really briefly here. You know, you look at John O'Korn. He led the Wolverines to 3 red zone touchdowns. It had been well documented, and we discussed it last week, Alan, how Michigan only had 1 touchdown in 10 red zone trips. What was the difference there?
Like I mentioned earlier, Al, I think the play action really played a big part in that. It wasn't where Purdue was thought that Michigan was going to run the ball constantly, and they weren't predictable. That's another thing. And I thought Coach Harbaugh did a great job of mixing in the play action, getting his guys open, and sure enough, it turned to points on the board.
Yeah, it certainly did. And, you know, I know the Wolverines during practice prior to that game, it was a primary focus throughout that entire week. The only negative probably is, you know, Quinn Nordine. He won't get Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week honors for that week, I guess, right?
Right.
But that's a good thing, right?
definitely a good thing. As long as you keep the punter and the kickers off the field. I mean, in my opinion, that's a pretty good thing going on.
For sure. All right, Alan Gant, former U of M linebacker, now broadcaster. Alan, thank you so much for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks for having me, Al.
All right, well, we have literally 1 minute left in the show. Let's just roll in that Reflection Friday music as we do, Isaac. Again, it was a short week for us. 3 current sports shows, starting on Wednesday, ending now today on Friday, as we both were out for Monday and Tuesday. An interesting week of shows, though, especially yesterday and Wednesday, as we tackled some heavy topics, the FBI college basketball investigation, and then Donald Trump and the NFL protest yesterday. We appreciate the dialogue from our listeners out there. I think our listeners are my winners for this week, and it was an interesting back and forth for sure, Isaac.
We do. It's uncomfortable, but it's important, no doubt about it.
All right, back at it Monday. We'll talk MSU in Iowa. Don't miss it. Be easy, people.